I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Yes, and down on my knees I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Yes, and down on my knees I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think I'll make Jesus my all in all. When I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I don't trust on him, I'd be less than a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Yes, and down on my knees I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Yes, and down on my knees I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
The scriptures first, and then we'll have the business meeting afterwards. We won't break down the prayer groups tonight, and just for sake of time, and we'll look at chapter 17 in Acts. So take your Bibles. I'm going to get myself set up down here. And am I on, Shane? Who's back there? Serge, am I on? Okay, I am on. All right. Acts 17. Let's go ahead and turn over to Acts 17. We're going to be verses 1 through 6. See how much of that we can cover tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. Acts 17, we are actually moving in Acts chapter 17, believe it or not, amen. Acts 17, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. Again, just like it opens up to the book of Psalms, it probably opens up to Acts chapter 17, amen. All right, everybody at Acts 17, say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? Amen. How many of the kids missed Patch? Several, amen. All right. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, discipleship. I'm sorry, I forgot. You know, whoever's getting discipled, you're dismissed. I forgot all about that. Thanks for reminding me, brother. Appreciate that. Anybody else that need to be discipled, go ahead and get dismissed. I forgot all about mentioning that. By the way, if you are discipling, be sure you're using that new sheet that we gave out at the leaders and the teachers meeting. It is going to aid you immensely on keeping track of who you're discipling and what you're covering, and that'll be a blessing. All right, Acts 17, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6 and see if we can't get some ground covered tonight. Amen. Start with me. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd men of the bastard sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Amen. How would you like that for a greeting when you go somewhere? Oh, the person that turned the world upside down has come here too. Amen. That actually is a compliment, believe it or not. Amen. It's not derogatory at all. That's a very, very good compliment. And that's something that is going to be associated with Paul wherever he goes. Wherever he goes, there's normally uproar. There's normally someone that doesn't want the gospel. And so they give him the evil eye. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, help us once again to see and be able to glean from his life, Lord, the things that we need to be resilient in. Not everybody's going to receive our gospel message. Not everyone is going to be beating down the doors to hear what we have to say. Not everyone is going to even enjoy what we have to say, but nonetheless, you told us to say it all the same. Lord, help us today to see how Paul has dealt with the opposition that he's being faced with. And Lord, help us to deal with it the same way here in Tucson, Arizona, whether it's at our jobs, whether it's at our schools, whether it's amongst our friends or our coworkers or our relatives. Lord, I pray that whoever it is, we would have the same mentality and the same attitude, letting people know Jesus saves. Yes, he still saves. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet with us tonight. Minister and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, looking at this, give you just a recap where we've been so far as I go through my notes here. Verse number one, we saw Paul's consistent mission. He is again going to give the gospel out like he always does. And then we saw in verse number two, Paul's consistent manner. By the way, is there ever a place where you cannot share the gospel? You can share the gospel any place you go. We live in a free country, and that's a blessing, amen? So keep tracts on you at all times. Always give tracts out. Give as many out as you can. You'd be surprised who may come, amen? And so Paul's consistent manner in verse number two. Then we saw his consistent message in verse number three. Notice what it says. They're opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. Why did Christ need to suffer? For our sins. Why did he need to raise from the dead? So that we can live. Amen. Show that God was satisfied. By the way, if he didn't rise from the dead, what would he have been like? Us. Just anybody, old else. Amen. But he's different. He rose again on the third day. Amen. Showing you that he is indeed God. Amen. So we saw the message that he gave down there. Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. That this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. By the way, there is no other Savior. All people must be saved or they will go to that place called hell. Men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. We must be saved. Amen. We have a problem, a condition. It's a cancer. It's called sin. Amen. And without Jesus Christ's sacrifice, you and I will have to pay for it ourselves. So, amen. So now we come to the next point here, which is Paul's consistent multitude. Paul's consistent multitude. Notice what it says down in verse number four. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Amen. So that means there was a whole bunch of them. Several things I want us to note here as we break this area down. And the first one is this. It says some believed and were saved. Notice that. And some of them believed. Now, as they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saved. There's always going to be more people that don't believe than that do believe. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I didn't know I had dropped that. There's always going to be more that don't believe than that do believe. Why is that? Sin, amen. That's a blanket statement. Sin, yes. The world loves darkness. The world loves darkness. Why? Why are there always going to be more that believe than that don't believe? World loves darkness, sin. Search. Pride. Pride, amen. That's one that I've got listed. Joshua? Yeah, Arrogancy, but that's a big word for a little guy. Right? The gospel is foolishness to the law. Say amen. Yes?
Well, like there's a lot of times people that want to change, and so if they do believe, then there's going to have to be a change, and they don't want to necessarily do that.
Amen. And if we get far enough from my notes, I'm actually going to talk about that as well, because it's a shocker to most people. It really is. Some believed and were saved. There's always going to be less that believe than those that do believe. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus gives you the reason why. All of the reasons that you gave are good reasons and they're accurate reasons. But the real reason is over in Matthew chapter 7. Yes, it's pride. Yes, it's arrogancy. Yes, it's sin. Yes, it's all of those things. But Matthew chapter 7, notice what Jesus says down here about why a lot of people aren't going to get saved. Amen. Is everybody there? So I need to get there now. Amen. All right. And notice down there in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. How many is going in thereat? Many there be which go in thereat. So broad is road. So if you could just picture this room, this auditorium as the road to heaven. OK, and just think it stops at that wall. And it stops at this wall, and this is the broad road to heaven, okay? And if these pews weren't in here, and there was a narrow path right down here, the narrow path would be the way that God wants you to go. The other paths are the way to religion, okay? So this is all supposed to be the road leading to heaven, amen? But we're all on this, but there's one little skinny road. Notice what he says in verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I brought this out once before. The word narrow doesn't mean thin like this. The word narrow means persecution, tribulation, trouble. In other words, when you get saved, something's going to come with that package. Trouble, tribulation. And many people don't want to get saved because of that, amen? Like Jerry said, they don't want that change that's going to come, amen? They don't want the trouble, the tribulation. And how many did he say is going to find it in verse 14 at the end? Few, but it's a broad road, but few folks are going to get it. So every time the gospel is preached up here, I don't care if it's me or Serge or Pastor White or one of the men that were preaching on Sunday night, the gospel message goes out. Why aren't people flocking down to get saved? Because few that be is going to find it. As Brad said, it's foolishness to most people. So it's going to be like, what? Get saved? Are you kidding me? Yeah, why? Well, hell. That's my next point. Most folks don't even believe there is a hell. Do you understand? Now, let me say it again. Most people don't even believe there is a hell. By the way, who has to convince you that there is a hell? The Holy Spirit's got to convince you and convict you that God will indeed send you to hell. Man cannot do it. Because man didn't create hell. God did. And because God created it, guess what? God's going to help you believe in it by the Holy Spirit's power. So you have to be convicted by the Spirit of God that there is a hell. When I got saved, I was so afraid that I was going to slip and go to hell. I was going to die, and I was going to fall right into hell. And that was conviction from the Holy Spirit of God. I would not leave the church that day until I got saved. Why? The Spirit of God made it real to me that hell is real, hell is hot, and it ain't for me. And so when you look at this, few there be that find it, you got to watch that, amen, because there's not going to be a whole lot of people getting saved when the gospel is preached. That's just a fact of the matter, amen. I know we look at over there in the early part of Acts, and multitudes were getting saved, and they were. But guess what? There was a whole lot of people there that didn't get saved, too, amen. So go back over to Acts chapter 17. So now all of what we were saying there, all the reasons that you guys gave are all right reasons. And for those reasons, there's going to be few that's going to actually get into heaven because of that reason. Amen. Also, primarily due to the nature of faith and the nature of sinners. Amen. As someone said, we're full of pride and unbelief. Amen. The average person does not want to have to depend on God. So they want to work for salvation. Why can't I be good to get to heaven? Why can't I give money to get to heaven? Why can't I read my Bible through in a year to get to heaven? Why can't I do this? Why can't I get baptized? Why can't I take the Lord's Supper? Why can't I have someone go in and give me some absolution, you know, all that absolvement? Amen. Why can't that work for me? Why do I just got to have to fall on the grace of God? Why can't I do something? Because there's nothing you can do. If you had to do something to get saved, it wouldn't be God's grace. And it wouldn't be free. By the way, if you do something to get saved, it's not salvation. It's works. The only thing that you can do is die for your sins and go to hell. But none of you can raise yourself up from the grave. So we've got to trust in Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Amen. So the average person is not going to get saved because of our pride, first of all, in ourselves. Amen. We don't want to have to depend on God. We want to work for it. The second reason is unbelief. Most people think like this: God will not punish sinners in hell. Some refuse to believe there is even a hell. By the way, listen to this. They believe there is a God. They even believe in angels. Some even believe maybe there could be demons. But the same ones that believe there's a God, there's angels, and there may be demons, refuse to believe there's a hell. Now, wait a minute. And those same folks refuse to believe there's a real devil. Well, it's just man's inner consciences, and man is just wicked in his core, and so that's the devil and the demon in him. Well, how do you explain the Garden of Eden then? They were created perfect with no devil, no demon in them. It's just man's inner subconsciousness that's been suppressed all his life, and he's been down under all the obstacles of society, and because of that, it's the demon in him. And so man's a devil within. No, there's a devil without, but there's also a devil in if you let him in, praise the Lord. So, you know, when you look at that, it's unbelief, amen. Some folks believe, yes, I might actually go to hell, but I'm not going to hell. I'll just go to purgatory. I'll spend some time in purgatory, maybe a couple thousand years, and then I'll get out. When enough people light enough candles for me and pray enough prayers for me, if you count on somebody to pray you out of purgatory, you're going to be there a long time. How much does the average person pray in the first place? So if you count on their prayers, you're going to be there a long time. Well, I'm counting on Aunt Sue and Aunt Bethel. Well, if they pray only 2 minutes a day, you're going to be there a long time. So most folks, if their pride doesn't get them, the unbelief is going to get them, amen, because they just don't want to believe the gospel, amen. And so we've got the pride, the unbelief, but some did conquer that, and some did believe, and some did get saved. Now, of those that did get saved, amen, notice what it says there. It says, four. And some of them believed, notice this, and consorted with Paul and Silas. Consort means to associate or to begin to hang around. When you got saved, you did one of two things. You started hanging around God's people, or you stopped hanging around, or you didn't start hanging around God's people. How many of y'all started hanging around God's people? How many of y'all started hanging around God's people by default? You mean by default? The people that you used to hang with got rid of you because you started talking about Jesus. I got saved and went right back to them. Hi, y'all. How y'all doing? I got saved. Get out of here. Went back to the church. Hi, y'all. How y'all doing? I got saved. Oh, come on over here, brother. Hey, by default. They didn't want to hang around me anymore. I didn't want to drink with them anymore. I didn't want to cuss anymore with them. I didn't want to fuss with them anymore. I didn't want to cut up. And they're like, look, man, you are cramping our style. You don't do the things that we used to do. And we can't be around you because as soon as you start talking about that Jesus stuff, you make us feel bad. So get right. It's easier for you to get left. Amen. And so that's what happened. Instead of them getting right, I got left. Amen. And so by default, I hung out with the people of God. Amen. Now, not to mention that they were doing some construction on the church and they needed some free labor. Amen. Because they were going to feed me. And so I started hanging out at the church. So some believed and were saved. And some of those that believed actually stayed. Amen. Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Show you how this was consistent. Amen. this was a consistent theme. Acts chapter 2, notice verse 41. Then they that God had received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about how many souls? 3,000 souls. Notice this, and it says, and they did what? Continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know what that means? They stayed with the stuff. They didn't leave. They didn't go away. They said, we got saved, we got baptized, and we're going to stay right here. This is good stuff. Amen. And so they stayed there steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Notice this. And all that believed were what? Together. And had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to them, to all men, as every man had need. Notice this. And they what? Continuing. How? Daily. With what? One accord. That means they were unified in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having faith with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, this was not just one time. Notice chapter 4 and verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and a number of them, the men, was about 5,000. Come over to chapter number 4 and verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of what? One heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things what? Common. Amen. So this was a theme that was consistent throughout the people getting saved there in the Acts of the Apostles. People got saved and they consorted, or they hung out with the Christians. Amen. By the way, when you get saved, that's what you ought to do. Hang out with the people that gave you the gospel. Amen. Go to church. Amen. By the way, go over to Mark. Is that Mark? Yeah, Mark chapter 5. Mark 5 and verse 18, because this was consistent even in Jesus' time. How many of y'all remember the maniac of Gadara? Maniac of Gadara? If you did your Bible reading, you came across this passage today. Mark chapter 5, verse 18, he got saved. And when he got saved, the demons got cast out of him. Notice what it says down here in verse number 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils, that's the maniac, prayed him that he might what? Be with him. The him is Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. He said, look, you got me cleaned up. I want to be with you. Amen. I want to stay with you. Amen. I want to go where you're going. Amen. Hey, that's natural. By the way, that was always the nature of those that believed in the Bible. They always wanted to be with the ones that gave them the gospel. My, Pastor White, how things have changed in 2015. People make a profession of faith now. You got to almost drag them into the house of God. Man, you almost got to bait. Come on, you need to come to church. You need to get baptized. I wonder, sir, did they really get saved? Did they really get saved? Because you can't find them having to coax people and bait people in the New Testament to come to church. They came automatically. By the way, when I got saved next Sunday, guess where I was at? At church. Next Sunday, guess where I was at? At church. Even against my best wishes, I didn't want to be there. He said, oh, you did? My flesh said, no, you don't want to go and hear that man call you wicked again. He's going to call you and say, he said everything about you negative. Why do you want to go back and hear him again? But something inside me called the Holy Spirit said, you need to get back over there. And guess where I was next Sunday? Well, maybe he'll say something good about me today. He didn't say anything. I said, see, I ain't coming back here no more. But then something else inside me said, you need to go back over there again and see what he got to say. Next Sunday, I came back over there. Guess what? It's like a broken record. You're wicked. You ain't right with God. You're a sinner. I thought I got that settled when I got saved. But guess what? God had to clean a whole lot of junk out of my life, a whole lot of filth out of my heart, a whole lot of garbage that I didn't need, amen? Had to clean that stuff out. And by the way, it comes with washing of the water by the word, amen? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so by default, I wanted to come back because the Spirit of God made me come back to hear what I needed to hear, amen? And so there's always going to be that nature in the believer to want to be in the house of God. And if that nature is not in the person, maybe the person doesn't have Christ in them. I'm just saying. Because in the Bible, people wanted to be in the house of God. They wanted to be under the sound of the gospel. They wanted to be right with God. They wanted to hear the word of God. The same word that saved them was the word that was going to keep them and clean them up. Amen. It was a natural desire. These folks here consorted. By the way, they were outnumbered because more people didn't get saved than did get saved. And so they had to go against the pricks, if you would, like Paul. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. They had to kick against all these Jews and the rest of these Greeks that didn't get saved. And so some believed and got saved. Some believed and stayed. But then there's another group here. Some believed not. Come down there with me again. Go back to Acts chapter 17. Because there's always going to be this group of hecklers that wants to poke fun at you because you're a Christian. Says verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a multitude, and of the chief women, not a few, but the Jews which believed not. By the way, when you look at verse 4, there's three different groups of people that he's talking about. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. He says, of the devout Greeks. So we had some Greeks that got saved, we had some women that got saved, and some Jews that got saved. Because notice what he says. He says, and some of them believed. And that the them that he's talking about there in the beginning are the Jews. It says, and consorted with Paul and Silas. And, conjunction, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. So a great group of men got saved that were Greeks. And of the chief women, not a few. So some Jews got saved, but more Greeks got saved and women than Jews. Does that surprise you? It really shouldn't. They're in the synagogue. So there's only going to be like your Nicodemuses that's trying to come by night and get some truth that's going to get saved. But some Jews did get saved. But then the Greeks got saved. And then some women got saved. Praise God. See, the gospel message goes out. Everybody has an opportunity. But it's only going to be those that see their need, only those that see that hell is real, only those that see, as he says here, opening legend, that Christ must needs have suffered for them, risen again from the dead for them, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ for them. They had to see that. They had to know that and understand that. And so when you come down here, three groups of people did get saved. Some Jews got saved, some Greeks got saved, and some of the women got saved. But some believed not. Amen. By the way, it says, but the Jews which believed not. Why did some choose not to believe? Other than pride and the stuff that we talked about. I'm too smart, educated. Amen. Yes. They're stiff neck. Elsie?
God loves you. Coordination.
Okay, Joshua. Too hard-headed, amen. By the way, yes, Jeremiah? Afraid of the other people around, amen. Linda?
They didn't believe that Jesus Christ.
Didn't believe that, we're going to touch on that in just a minute, amen. Serge? Relying on the law of Moses, amen. Terrell? Think they can do it themselves, amen? Now, let me pose something to you that may have been in their heads and their minds, okay? Now, I can't prove this, but it's a possibility. Go to Matthew. And go to Matthew 28. Again, I can't prove that this was in their head, but it was common knowledge. Matthew 28 and chapter 11. Remember when Pilate said, or they went to Pilate and said they might try and steal the body of Jesus. And they said, go make a seal and put the seal on there. Notice chapter 28, verse 11, because this may be it running in their mind. Verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, notice this, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So it's possible that the scuttlebutt, if you would, the rumor, if you would, got spread around that the disciples came and stole the body at night. He didn't really rise from the dead. And so it went from one Jew to the next Jew to the next Jew to the next Jew to the next Jew. Yes, ma'am?
But if it's in the scriptures that they were paid to lie, wouldn't they?
They didn't have the scriptures at that time, nor did they believe the New Testament.
The Jews have it now, though.
They don't.
They don't have this.
They don't believe it.
They
don't believe it, so it's inconsequent. They don't believe it. So they are stuck with the Old Testament, the law of Moses. So they would believe that lie that was propagated. So it is possible that many of the Jews would not believe because as it is in the days of the Antichrist, they believed the lie. And the Bible says that God's going to send strong delusion after the rapture, and they're going to believe a lie. Same thing. They've got some strong delusion. They came that night and stole the body away. And we were sleeping. What kind of sense does that make? The soldier was sleeping. I'd be too embarrassed to even say that.
Yeah, how can they move that stone?
That's like in the military. I fell asleep at the armory and somebody came in and stole some stuff. Why does that not make even common sense? Number one, I should have been court-martialed. Exactly. You know, I was sleeping and they came and stole all the armory out of here, you know, and you're still talking, living to talk about that? Yes, sir. What's that? Hey, amen. Amen. And to show you the fools, obviously this was a well-fabricated lie because they're talking to the authorities. The authorities are giving them the money. So this is a well-spun lie. Yes, Gregory?
I think it doesn't make sense because how can they see stuff when they're asleep?
Like, they don't even know
something.
Now, that's a good point. How can they see when they sleep? Amen. They can't. I'm asleep, but I know who somebody came and stole the body of Jesus away. Well, how do you know? Because you were asleep. He couldn't have rose from the dead because you were asleep. Well, because he couldn't walk out from this guard here. If he's God, he can. Case closed. Amen. And so this lie could have possibly be one of the reasons why many Jews from town to town, from city to city, from synagogue to synagogue, did not and would not get saved. Because it was told them that the disciples stole the body. Now, there's a problem with that. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's a big problem with that. Yeah, they would have done that. Well, you would think so. Supposedly they fainted or whatever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. And this is the problem with that. Verse 3. This is Paul speaking. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Same thing he did over there, opening legend, that Jesus must have suffered for the sins. And that he was what? Buried. And that he what? Rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Notice this. And that he was what? Seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So they're all liars. So that's 13 liars right there. Amen. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren. So that's 500 liars right there. Amen. Of one of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James. So that's another liar. Then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due season. And so they have to still get past all those people that saw it. How many guards was it, Serge? Handful, maybe, at the most. So now I got a handful as opposed to 500 plus.
Yeah.
Now somebody's telling a lie. Somebody's telling a big lie. Let's not tear that up, Dominique. Okay, it's not a toy. Thank you, son. I appreciate that. Somebody's telling a big lie here, amen. So still we have the abundance of witnesses, possibly because they heard the lie, and then so possibly they didn't believe, amen. But it's bad enough if you don't believe. But don't make a fuss and get other folks all riled up about it, amen. And that's exactly what they did. Go back to Acts chapter 17. Some believed and got saved. Some believed and stayed. Some believe not. Some with envy took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bastard sort. Now, by the way, why would they be moved with envy in the first place? What's there to be envious about?
Now they're not so special. They're not the only ones who can get to heaven.
They're not the only ones that can get to heaven? Okay, that could be a reason. Why are they moved with envy? Why are they envious? Joshua?
Think they're better than everyone?
Brett? Okay, amen. And these are good reasons. Let me give you a scenario, okay? I'm preaching the gospel here, and here comes this new guy that comes in here, and he starts preaching a false gospel, and half the church leaves. Am I going to get upset about that? I'm probably going to get upset about that because he's preaching a false gospel. In their eyes, Paul's preaching a false gospel. And Paul comes on the scene and steals half of their membership or a quarter of their membership or however many of their members. He comes in with this so-called false gospel and people start leaving. And they're a little bit envious of that. How dare you, upstart Paul, former Pharisee, come in here and preach this Jesus whom is not crucified, who is not buried, who is not risen again, and the law of Moses and Judaism, and now you're taking our people. It was bad enough that you took some Jews with you, but now you took a bunch of devout Greeks, and now you took a bunch of chief women. You're taking all of our good tithers. Money talks. If these are, what does it say down there? Devout Greeks. So these guys are, they're up there. Chief women, not a few. So they've got some status. And you just came in here and took them just like that with this Jesus message that you just preached. So there could be some envy at the numbers that Paul is amassing here with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So some beat against them. Move with envy means jealousy. And lewd fellows of the bastard sword. Those are morally hurtful and evil people of low standards. In other words, these are people hanging out at the marketplace. How many of y'all go downtown Tucson? And you see the guy sleeping in the park and the guy sleeping. Now the big thing is these little boxes they got down there. Everybody's in an uproar about the boxes, you know. And these would be people like that are just hanging around, got nothing better to do. And they enlisted these type of guys. Now, my number one question is, what do the Jews in charge, what are they doing hanging around those type of people in the first place? How can they have such an influence and a voice with these guys anyway? But that's another story altogether. Man, money. Just like they paid off to tell the first lie to the soldiers, amen. Jews had some money, amen. They could influence these guys. So they were moved with envy. They got these morally low standard guys here, and they gathered a company. Notice what it says down there. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bastard sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So in other words, what they did, they gathered these men of low moral standards together. They rallied them together and said, this is what we want you guys to do. You know, this guy over here is preaching this message over here. You know, he's trying to turn people against Caesar and against the king, all this stuff here. Now, I want you guys to come in here and do this. You know, make a big ruckus and tell them how we don't like that and we're against that and get as many people as you can. And basically, that's what they did. They came over there as Paul was preaching the message and they got the city on an uproar. In other words, they made a stink over what Paul was doing. They created a public disturbance against Paul and Silas for the gospel message that they preached. And what they wanted was to get them out of Jason's house, who must have been one of them that got saved. Amen. Notice what it says. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the bastard sword and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So in other words, G2 and Joshua, Faith, come here. Dominique, come here. Nia, come here. So I get this group of guys together. Y'all shout and scream and bellyache and moan and groan. We don't like it. We don't like it. Say that. We don't like it. We don't like it. We don't like it. Come on here. We don't like it. We don't like it. Shout. We don't like it. 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 So I got a bunch of them. Come on over here. All right, y'all come over here. We don't like it. We're going to beat on this house here. Come on out of here. We don't like it. Come on here. We don't like it. We don't like it. Come on out. Bring us that Paul guy. Come on. We don't like it. Rah, rah, rah. Can you imagine the frustration that the townspeople would feel with that going on? One of the things that protests do is get people's attention. What they're trying to do is gather enough protest of these morally low standard people to make enough fuss to go over to this house so that the rulers will come over here and say, it must be something bad going on in there. Come on, bring that guy out. Come on, bring him out. Let him out. Come on, let us have him.
Come on. Let's kick the door down.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. So basically, that's what they're basically doing to this house of Jason. They're trying to create a public outcry to make it look like he's really a bad guy. And he just gave out the gospel. Ever had somebody kick dirt on you, trying to make you look like the bad guy, and all you did was give out the gospel? All you did was be kind or be nice or behave, and somebody kicked dirt on you and say how bad you are, and then want to get other folks involved with that, amen? Pretty much that's what happened with Paul and Silas. They wanted to make him out to be the bad guy because they're envious. They're jealous because people are getting saved. But they don't believe in Jesus, so that's a problem for them. Amen. And we're going to pick this up on the verse 6 next week. But what happened here, some believed and got saved, which was normal. Some believed and got and stayed, which was normal. Some believed not and created a fuss, which is normal as well. Some beat against Paul and Silas, which is normal as well when you're dealing with the gospel. Because some people just don't want to hear it. Hey, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, you know what I said? Don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Why don't you? No, why don't you just leave me alone? I don't want to hear it. It was foolishness. Why? I had my own way. I had the Greg Dawson way. I'm okay. I keep the Ten Commandments. You know, I'm pretty good. And in my heart of hearts, now maybe y'all thought like this. In my heart of hearts, I thought, yeah, I'm not the best person in the world. But I believe when I get to heaven, I can make a deal with God. Because God is love. God is merciful. God gave his only begotten son, it says. God is forgiving. God is love. God is all these things. So I believe I get to heaven and I pour out my case to God and say, here's my sin, my bad works. Here are my good works. And even if my bad works and my good works don't match up and I've got more bad than good, I'll fall on the mercy of God. People think that every single day. They look at, well, God is love. He will never punish me in hell. No, you're going to punish yourself. I was just talking to somebody recently, and they said, you know what? I didn't know that hell and the lake of fire were two different places. I said, yes, they're two different places. I said, hell is the holding tank. I said, the lake of fire is the resting place. And I said, it's sort of like this. I said, what happens to people when they get caught for crimes? They said, they go to jail. I said, why do they go to jail? He said, waiting for their crimes, for their trial to be come to the judge. I said, so hell is jail. They're waiting to come before the judge to find their sentence. And then they go into the big house, prison. In their case, it would be the lake of fire. I said, because ironically, a lot of people in hell don't know why they're there. They thought like me, I can make a deal with God. My good works outweigh my bad works. I got baptized. I joined the church. I did all these things. What are you trying to say? Away from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Will God be justified? Yes, he will. And all the people that thought, I don't believe in hell, I can make a deal with God. There is no deal that you can make with God outside of this book. I'm sorry. It's just not. Jesus Christ paid it all. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death. It couldn't be more plainer in black and white. All the Jews that believe not, guess what? They will one day hear Paul's sermon replayed to them if they never got saved. They will hear that replayed again. These guys that assaulted Jason's house and said, bring them out. We want to see these guys and wanted to kick him out of the city and do ill to Paul and Silas. Guess what? They will replay that again. Why did we send the messenger away? Why? Remember the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? The wicked men, what'd they do? They wanted to go and beat the door down and get the angels out the house. Beating the door down. Let us out. Let them in. We want to get those guys. We want them. I mean, how wicked can you be? But guess what? These guys, if they don't get saved, they're going to be the same way. What am I saying? Folks, we're going to get that to happen to us. Not everybody's going to want our gospel. Not everybody's going to want to listen to us. And the same way Paul stayed, and the same way Paul continued to give out the gospel, the same way Paul was persistent in giving his message out, guess what? We've got to be persistent and consistent as well. Some are going to believe and get saved. Some are going to believe and stay. Some are going to believe not and beat against it. Some are just going to believe not and just going to go away. But we're going to get all types. Let us be faithful to give out the gospel, irregardless of what people say, regardless of what they do. Say, but I'm afraid, I'm scared. I'm sure Paul wasn't sitting around just saying, you know what, you know, I want to get beat. He's probably like, man, I really don't want to have to go through this again. This happened at Philippi. This seems to be happening to me every place I go. But guess what? He just moved on and did the same thing in the next place, thinking, well, the audience there may be different. But even if they're not, guess what? I'm still going to preach. Why? The multitude is always going to be consistent wherever you go. Some will believe and get saved. Some will believe and stay. Some will believe not. Some will believe not and beat against it. It's just the way it's going to happen. Amen. Keep that in mind as you go back to work tomorrow and as you go throughout this week. Not everybody's going to receive it. But guess what? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Father, bless now in the time that we have in a few moments, Lord. Help each and every one of us to do our dead level best, Lord, to see multitudes get saved. Lord, the only way we're going to do that is to give out the gospel to multitudes of people. Help us to hand out tracts. Help us to be bold in our witness. Help us to be diligent and consistent in what we do. But Lord, at the same time, we do pray for those that do believe. Lord, help them to not just believe, but believe and stay. And be like these in the Acts of the Apostles. They consorted with Paul and Silas. They stayed. They joined up with them. And they made sure that they were there for the things of God. Help us, Lord, to do the same thing with those that get saved. Encourage them to stay. Encourage them to follow the Lord in baptism. Encourage them to get discipled. Encourage them to be faithful, continuing steadfastly in the doctrine that they've been taught. And bless now in the time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.